Good morning. Welcome to worship as we continue in our season after Epiphany, where we reflect on the way God's light shines forth into our lives, into our world, into our church. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our thanksgiving for baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God. For in the beginning, your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word, you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as your beloved children, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Invite all who are able to stand for our first hymn.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, your loving kindness always goes before us and follows after us. Summon us into your light and direct our steps in the ways of goodness that come through the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts, minds, and ears to hear the Word of God.
The first reading from the Old Testament for this third Sunday after Epiphany comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. There will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the later time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the first letter that Paul wrote to the people of Corinth. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no division among you, for that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I confess I've always been a bit curious about why Jesus called the first disciples who were fishermen. Why fishermen? To be honest, I never realized what a dangerous profession fishing is, nor did I realize the economic boom to places in the Pacific Northwest. That is, until I began serving Ballard First Lutheran Church in Seattle. Ballard First is a lot like Central. It's a church with a very rich history. It began with a few Norwegian immigrant fishing families back in 1894. Central began in 1904, just 10 years later. In fact, Ballard First was first built by Norwegian fishing families, immigrants that were new to the United States, new to that part of the world, and they built this church in the off-season. They were mostly fisher folk. And dating back to 1929, they have had a long-standing tradition every year of blessing the fleet before the fishing season. So, in recent years, the annual event has been held just across the Ballard Bridge at Fisherman's Terminal, where there's a monument to fishermen who have been lost at sea. Women too, but mostly men. Every year, the event draws a cadre of local and state politicians and officials from the fishing industry, along with a few of the men and women who actually harvest the sea. And each year that I was part of that tradition, my colleague and I took turns bringing a homily to the community that gathered there on a Sunday afternoon. And we prayed for a bountiful harvest for those who steward the sea and for their safe return home. One year it was my turn to give the homily, and I suggested it was the text that we have before us today about Jesus calling these first fishermen to follow him. And I suggested that Jesus had a lot in common with politicians and preachers and fishermen. I said, first of all, they were all good storytellers. And second, they all liked to embellish those stories. And third, that they all drank their fair share of wine. But then I said, the difference is Jesus actually liked fishermen, not so much politicians and religious leaders. And they chuckled, and we went on from there. But like I said, before I met someone who actually fished for a living, I always found it intriguing that it was fishermen that Jesus first called to follow him. There's nothing in the Bible to suggest that these men were better or brighter than anyone else. In fact, it appears that they were pretty ordinary, everyday folk. Nothing special about them at all. To paraphrase theologian Frederick Buechner, one of my favorites, he says their sole qualification seems to have been their willingness to follow Jesus and leave behind their fish nets. I suppose one could make a case that they went from one dangerous profession to another. For following Jesus was not going to be an easy road. But an interesting little detail that might be overlooked in today's gospel is hearing how Jesus proclaimed the very same message that John the Baptist had proclaimed earlier. And that is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Often the word repent, in religious circles at least, and in a religious context, is used to say, turn around, or reorient yourself in order to make a confession before God, to turn around, turn your life around, to reorient yourself by leaving behind those things that separate you, the sin that separates you from God. And that's a true definition of repentance. However, today, in this case, repent may not mean so much turning around or reorienting as it does seeing something new or different is happening. In other words, when Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, it quickly turns into a compelling invitation from Jesus to leave behind what is familiar and comfortable and to try something entirely new. At least it seems to me that is precisely what happened when Jesus called those first fishermen to follow him. He invited them to leave behind their fish nets, their boats, their livelihood, even their families, and follow him, to enter into a ministry where there's something new and different going on. More importantly, Jesus invited them into a relationship of trust. Trust and reliance on God. And so he called these ordinary fishermen to follow him, to learn from him, to grow with him, and to share in his ministry. These ordinary everyday fishermen were being called to witness to the extraordinary new things God was doing and to show others that the kingdom of heaven had come near. And that, my friends, is where we come in. We are, after all, part of this ongoing work of ministry. Our mission statement, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That is to say, Jesus continues to call ordinary people like you and like me to share in his ministry here and now. Jesus calls us to repent. That is to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to the new things that are happening. That something new and different is happening among us. Jesus invites us to leave behind what is familiar and comfortable and to try something new. And just as those first followers entered into new and unfamiliar territory, I'm convinced that is exactly what Jesus is calling us to do. Many of you have heard this lament of mine, and perhaps I'm beginning to sound like a broken record, but personally I'm sick and tired of hearing religious leaders and Pew researchers telling us that the church is dying. That just seems to me to fly in the face of one of the greatest teachings of our faith, and that is that as followers of Jesus, we are baptized into Christ's death, yes. But we are also baptized into Christ's resurrection as new creations. So if the church is the body of Christ, and I believe it is, then we are the church of the resurrection, the church of new life, the church called to be the light of Christ and to share that light through our own lives. To share the light of Christ in this all too often dark world we find ourselves living in. So listen up. Pay attention. Don't be surprised if you hear Jesus calling your name. Like those ordinary fishermen, Peter and Andrew and James and John, you, all of you, we together, church together, are called to share in Christ's ministry, to follow Jesus, to trust him, to learn from him, to grow with him. This is our calling, yours and mine, all of ours, ordinary everyday people. Sorry to tell you this, but there's nothing special about any of us. Ordinary people. Created in God's image, equipped by the Holy Spirit, called to follow Jesus and to witness to the extraordinary things that God is doing and to show others that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Uniting God, make your church one in purpose, proclaiming the message of the cross. Help us to work together across differences. Energize ecumenical partnerships, including the World Council of Churches and Lutheran World Federation. Merciful God, hear our prayer. We rejoice at the beauty of your creation. Fill the land and sea with your abundance. Bless harvests in the southern hemisphere and fallow fields in the northern hemisphere. Equip farmers to till and keep the earth sustainably. Merciful God, hear our prayer. In Christ, your reign comes near and calls all to repentance. Break the rod of the oppressor in every nation. Dispel the shadow of death at places of war and persecution. Grant us leaders who lift the yokes that burden those in need. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Sustain the ministries of this congregation and all churches in this community. Nurture each congregation's unique witness to your presence. Foster mutual respect. Inspire our cooperation in loving our neighbors. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Be a stronghold for those in trouble and a rock for all who are afraid. Rouse communities to care for neighbors who need shelter, are facing maltreatment, or are isolated and lonely. Heal the sick, injured, and those in recovery. Comfort the grieving and abide with all in any pain. We have prayed especially this week for Betsy Berg, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Gail Hadelberg, James Pontius, Marnie Reinmuth, Jeff and Gretchen Seamus, and Norma Vetrus. Merciful God, hear our prayer. We praise you for the faithful who've gone ahead of us, both famous and unknown. Help us to leave our nets and follow, and bring us with them to the fullness of your promise of eternal life, and comfort all of us now who grieve. Merciful God, hear our prayer. We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Creator God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive these gifts for the sake of him who offers himself to us through this simple meal of bread and wine. Strengthen us through this meal in faith toward you and in fervent love for one another. We ask this through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. Sharing our life, he lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to his own brilliant light. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a willing faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, I'll invite you to come forward through the center aisle, receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then dip it into the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come.
Amen.
And now, may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in His grace. Amen. Let us pray. Holy One, we thank you for the healing that springs forth abundantly from this table. Renew our strength to do justice, love kindness, and journey humbly with you. Amen. A few announcements of our life together this week. First is that this afternoon at 4:00 here at the sanctuary is a Winter Vespers concert that is free and open for all to come. Second is to notice a few things in your bulletin there. Together Tuesdays continue, 5:15 for a meal, 6 p.m. for classes for both adults and children. And then invitation to our guests. For those who would like to know more about the Lutheran faith and how to engage more fully in Central, whether you're new or old to the congregation, please talk to either Pastor Lori or myself. Then I'd like to make special notice that next week, between services, we will have our semi-annual meeting in the parish hall. Please plan to be there. And our main item of business next week, our biggest one, is our budget, proposed budget for the fiscal year 2023. And to learn more about that, please stay after service today in the parish hall. And Charlotte will be doing a presentation, just going over the budget, what's being covered, to be there to explain things, answer questions, and it'll be a very helpful information section. So that's directly after service today in the parish hall. With those announcements, I'd like to invite all who are able to stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Share the light of Christ. Thanks be to God.